Turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Revelation, chapter 20. We just sang a song about heaven and how wonderful and great it will be for us to be there. I want to read Revelation, chapter 20, beginning at verse 11. The text says, "And I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." I think most of us are familiar with this section of Scripture. And this morning I would like to look a little bit closer at the idea, is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? The Book of Life is mentioned throughout the Bible. So there was a knowledge even from Old Testament folks about the Book of Life. Now I think it's pretty self-explanatory, this Book of Life. There's a book that God has that he writes the names of those who are going to inherit eternal life. We also find in Scripture that names can be erased from the book of life. But this morning, I would like to talk to us a little bit about the fact that we notice in this text, in verse 15, if anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So it is significant that our names be written in that book. I guess the imagery that is presented to us in this text is that on the day of judgment, and we're not sure all the things, I guess, that will take place on that great day, but one of the things that will take place is that there will be books that are opened. I assume books, plural, has to do with the books of the laws. There's been the patriarchal books, there's been the Mosaic books or the Judaism books. There have been also the New Testament, the New Covenant of Christ books. And depending on what you lived under, you'd be judged from those books. And then there's Book of Life, is whether or not your name is recorded there. And God is in control of those books. And he judges from those books. And you'll notice in the text, verses 12 and 13, it is mentioned, everyone is judged according to their deeds. So we see that it's a very fair judgment. And it's very fair about whose names are in the book of life. Because it's based upon our deeds. I'm not judged based upon your deeds or vice versa. We're judged upon our own deeds. Well, we mentioned this word deeds a number of times, and what really are we talking about? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we find our deeds can be good or bad. "For we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad," Paul said. So Paul and John agree on what they reveal to us about the end time in regards to our being judged according to what we have done, how we have lived our life. Well, today I thought that it would be good for us to stop and think about our deeds. Sort of traditionally, either at the last Sunday of the year or the first Sunday of the new year, we have a resolutions kind of lesson. And I think that's always appropriate. I think it's always good. Because I do think we all need to be reminded and refresh our memory about what we've done, what we need to change, what we're going to do in regards to our year. So this morning I would like for us to really think about our deeds. And I hope it'll help you and encourage you this morning. Well, first of all, I'd like to suggest that our deeds certainly first and primarily involve our relationship with God. And I think that's a given. But I want to think about the idea of whether or not we have really obeyed God. Now, only you can answer that for yourself. And you know in your heart whether or not you have obeyed God or not. Whether you have really honored Him as God. You remember that great text in Ecclesiastes chapter 12? Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole of man, or the whole duty of man. You see, we can kind of just bring it down to a very simple thought. That however you've lived your life in the past, and however you're living your life today, and however you intend to do it in the future, it really is to revolve around the idea of obeying and honoring God. Making sure that we understand that obey just simply means that we're submitting to and doing what He says. Honoring Him is that we do so with respect and honor to Him. We love Him. We discussed a little bit last week about the idea that we all must learn to mature to the point that we don't go to church or worship God or pray because we have to. Are we commanded? Yes. Do we have to? Yes. But you do have a choice. You have a choice as to whether or not you obey God, but you also have a choice as to whether or not you honor Him. And a part of that honor and respect is an appreciation that we call love. When we learn to really honor God, and we obey Him because we love Him, that is a sense of maturity that carries over into worship itself. Really, we shouldn't have to Christians talk about you have to worship God. And then our attitude is, well, I better go to church today. I have to worship God. Now, in a real technical sense, that's true. But the letter of the law would suggest to us very strongly that you need to do so because you want to. Because you appreciate God so very, very much. You know, when Jesus was asked a couple times about the law, which is the greatest of the law, when Jesus responded, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength," He talked about that that is the first and greatest law. And the reason for it is that if our names are to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we need to become a people that we do truly worship and honor God. But we do so because we love Him and we respect Him and we honor Him. But then secondly, when we look at our deeds, certainly that involves the church. And when we think about the church, I think it's important that we understand that we are present. And as we talked about maybe before and used this kind of cliche kind of statement, is that it's pretty easy for us to go through the motions at times. It's easy for us to be just sitting on the premises rather than standing on the promises. And it's easy for us to take things for granted. So being present with a church, with a group of people that love God and appreciate Him and worship Him, is very significant in our lives. It's a very big part of our lives. And being involved in that is all about what church is about. Church is not a place where you come and you are entertained. It's not a place where you come and you watch a production. Church is all about being participatory. That is that you come and you participate. You're involved. You are actually doing the singing, the praying, the worshiping. You are active in that. Because the church is not really presented to us in any way in the Scripture as some kind of organization. That's really a false concept. The church is presented in the Scriptures as an organism. It's a body that functions. And as members of the body of Jesus Christ, we must respect that and honor that. And therefore, we want our right arm to give its best in the operation of the body. You, as a member of the body of Jesus Christ, giving your best is important as to how you appreciate the church. And yes, love the church. We love the church. Why? Well, because God wants us to. True. But we love the church because of who we are. We are God's people. And it's important that we understand in our deeds that we not ever get to the point that we take the church for granted, that we're just here because we have to be. That's a cold church when people live their lives that way. Then there's a responsibility to our neighbor. When we look at the idea of our neighbors, we certainly are to help them. Paul taught that, wherefore you have opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially they of the household of faith. Jesus taught the principle of the Good Samaritan and how that he answered the idea of who is my neighbor. And he said, go and do likewise. Certainly the Bible would teach us that we have a responsibility to our neighbors. Jesus, when again asked that great question about the greatest law, the second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So when we consider the idea of our neighbors, certainly whether or not our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life is dependent upon our deeds. And our deeds are supposed to involve our neighbors. And that means we teach them. That means that we love them. So as you think about the great day of judgment, it really is not going to come a surprise, is it? That God really does open up the books and we stand before Him. And He's going to question our deeds in regards to our neighbor? Can we not answer that now? So how have we been in the past? How are we today? What are we going to do tomorrow in regards to our neighbor? Are we going to help them? Are we going to teach them? Are we going to love them? When it comes to our families, we certainly have deeds in regards to our family. As a husband, as a leader. This is certainly an important relationship that a man has when he's married and he has a family. Is that he provide this leadership for his family. Especially in spiritual matters. That you're an example. Someone has suggested about four generations is about what it takes for people to completely be removed from God. When a family, when a father does not stress the importance of God, his church, being involved, that when that child grows up, they will be even less involved in caring about God and His church. And see, what they pass on to their children is then this disrespect or this non-appreciation for God or the church. So when that child grows up and it has a child, they don't teach their children anything. And then that child grows up and has absolutely no respect, no appreciation for God at all. You see how important it is that we as men be the kinds of leaders in our homes to lead, to be the example, to teach, and to love. It is God's way that He has put men before our homes, that we be these kinds of leaders. And then we find in our homes about the wife, how that she is to be a helper. She is to be submissive. And yes, she teaches her children as well. And she is to love her family. Now, as we think about the topic of, are our names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life? That we are going to be judged according to our deeds. Certainly, our relationship in our families, our deeds, that we will be judged for. Even children have a responsibility. They have a responsibility of obeying and honoring their parents and loving their parents. And you too will also be judged for that in the day of judgment. So I hope that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of our deeds. I think it's important that we stop here just for a moment and we understand that we're not talking about, nor is God talking about, perfection in the sense of sinlessness. Because already the things that we've talked about, all of us have made mistakes. We have some bad deeds when it comes to these topics. We should be very grateful today that we have a very merciful, loving, and gracious God. That as you take the time to reflect upon your life in the past, and as you think about those things sincerely, the mistakes that you've made in these areas, you're still living. Judgment hasn't arrived yet. So you have time to make corrections in your life. And today you can make a choice that tomorrow, Lord willing, if tomorrow comes, your deeds will be better. We ought to all be thankful that we have today, so that we can do all that we can to have a better tomorrow. So where this kind of makes the full circle is that we have to look at our deeds personally. We have to have a serious heart check. My guess is we've looked through some of these things and maybe your mind has wandered a little bit from you personally to maybe your spouse or to your children or to your parents. And maybe we're thinking in terms, well, I certainly know that they could do better. Really what this lesson is intended to be is for us personally. You know, since we are going to stand before God personally, and we're going to be judged according to the deeds that we have done personally, it's really a waste of time to spend our time talking about the other fella. Now, while we care about the other fella and we want to help them to get to heaven, you must begin personally. So that's a heart check. And we might ask ourselves, if we really have lived our lives as Christians thus far going the extra mile. It's easy for us to get into this mode of doing just what's necessary. When questions come up, you know, do I have to read my Bible every day? Do I have to pray several times a day? Then maybe you've never asked specifically those kinds of questions, but have you not asked the question, I wonder how much I should pray every day? I wonder how much scripture I ought to read every day, or if I should read every day, or if I should study every day. You ever ask those questions? Did it ever come to your mind that maybe the way we ought to be thinking is that praying and studying His Word, etc., are great privileges of God? Yes, commanded. Yes, essential. But a privilege rather than a command. And if it's a privilege, and if it's a blessing to us, why would we wonder about how much? From your heart, read your Bible. Why? Because you want to. You ever got that book that you just couldn't put down? You get a book and you read it, and you know, and you're just intending going to read a chapter, and then you know you just get so involved in it, and you know you've read three or four chapters, and you've been sitting there a long time. You just really get into it. I'm afraid that as Christians, in time, well, we read that before. It's not as exciting to us as it was. And we ought to be fearful of that. It tells us where our heart is. Remember the song that we sang? Tell me the old, old story. And as that song basically goes, I love to hear the story. How many times have you heard the story? As Brother Brian read to us this morning before we ate the Lord's Supper, you ever heard that story before? Do you love to hear that story? You see, our deeds in regards to God, our deeds in regards to the church, our neighbors, our family, where all that really begins is in us personally. So having a heart check, are we the kind of people that really go the extra mile? Are we willing to give that 110%? It's easy for us to take life in general, to kind of just move along and just do what's necessary. Spiritually speaking, God expects us to give him our best. But we should be willing to give our best because of our love. Because of our love for God, our love for others, and yes, even a love for ourselves. You see, faith, hope, and love. How great is faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Hope. Without hope, you have nothing. Love. Why is it the greatest? It's greater than faith or hope. The very existence of our deeds must be based upon love. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, though I give all of my possessions, though I feed the poor, I help everyone else, I give everything, even my own body, and have not love, it profits me nothing. So how many times did you go to church last year? How many times did you read the Bible?
Where it doesn't matter if you don't have love, if that's not the reason you did it. If anyone's name is not found in the book of life, he's thrown into the lake of fire. There's such a contrast in those few verses that I read from Revelation 20. There's the contrast of our names being in the book of life. And as the book of Revelation so beautifully pictures for us in these last few chapters, is the beauty of heaven and the greatness of being there. But then right in the mix of those precious words is the lake of fire. The reality of it is, we might easily convince ourselves that there's no such thing as the lake of fire. Have you noticed in these same verses, in the comparison, that if there's no such thing as the lake of fire, there's not going to be any such thing as a place called heaven either. They're both real. And so is the Lamb's Book of Life. So sincerely, this morning, I ask each of us to stop and to think very soberly, if you haven't already. Now, probably most of us ate way too much for Thanksgiving beginning, and we've been eating like crazy right through Christmas, right into the new year. And probably as we have tried to button our coats and our pants and they're a little bit tighter, I need to make a New Year's resolution. I need to lose a few pounds. I need to eat better. I need to exercise more. And those are all certainly things probably most of us need to consider. But by far, the most important thing that you need to stop and think about, in the day of judgment, based upon your life up to this day, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If it's not, you need to change your deeds. Because that's what determines whether your name is there or not. Today, we're living and we have hope. We have the mercy extended to us by God another day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad for another day. Most importantly, so I can do better. I need to do better. I need to do more. Because I realize while I can't earn it, by God's grace, I understand that it makes a difference what I do. And I can do better. Can't you? Shouldn't you? Thank you for listening today. You take your psalm books and turn to the selection that Brian has selected for us this morning. We're going to turn and sing this song, and there may be those here today that as you stop and contemplate, maybe you feel like at one point in time your names were in the Lamb's Book of Life. But you feel like, according to your deeds, it's been erased. That name can be put back in. If we can pray with you and pray for you as a Christian to help you once again serve the Lord, we want to be able to do that today. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we together we sit and sing. There's a thousand reasons why.